I was encouraged this morning, as I'm sure you were, with the service, and especially with the communion service. I appreciate, Brother Don, what you did as we began our Lord's Supper observance this morning. And I appreciated his reference back to the Old Testament and the stones that were put up when the children of Israel crossed across the Jordan River into the land of Canaan. And there, as commanded by God, the 12 tribes were represented by the 12 stones that were put there as a memorial, that they might never forget that it was by God's grace and God's power that they were able to leave the wilderness and go into the land of Canaan, crossing over the dry sea that used to be awash with the Jordan River. And it made me think that we've been, we had one lesson a few weeks ago on understandest what thou singest. I didn't plan to do this evening, but you piqued my interest by that this morning. The number of songs we sing about heaven, which are, I suppose, of all the songs in the book, aside from those glorifying and magnifying the God of heaven, only second to that would be the number of songs in which we sing about our longing for, our hope for, our love for the heavenly home. And one of the pictures that is in so many of those songs concerns the land of Canaan, sometimes referred to as Beulah Land. To Canaan's land I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. And some few make reference to the Jordan there. And I realize that most all here this evening understand what you mean when you sing those words. But just to reinforce that understanding, the idea of our leaving this world and going into the land of promise that God has provided for us as Christians, our heavenly home, is not just an analogy we've made up on our own. It'd be a wonderful thing if we had, but God did it first. In fact, you can't help but believe that what happened then was meant to be a foretaste of what we would be enjoying now. The writer of Hebrews makes a major point in chapters 3 and 4 of that book of Hebrews about the problem those Israelites had in not entering into their land of rest. And some might say, well, I thought they did enter Canaan. Well, they did, but they didn't. The ones who left Egypt didn't, except for Joshua and Caleb. At the time of their leaving, and the time of the spies just a little bit later, all of those that were over the age of 20 died in the wilderness, and that not accidentally, but on purpose. God allowed them to wander about those 40 years in the wilderness so that generation would completely die off, those who'd been guilty of unbelief. And that goes back, among other things, especially to the story of the spies in Numbers chapters 13 and 14, where one representative of all the tribes is selected to go into the land of Canaan and spy it out and come back and report what they found. Among those 12 were Joshua and Caleb. And I'll just have to admit to you this evening, the only two I can remember out of the 12 are Joshua and Caleb. And it might be my poor memory, it might be the other 10 don't deserve to be remembered, because they said, all of them, that it's a land flowing with milk and honey. The land is fertile. It's a wonderful land. But 10 of the 12 said it's overrun by giants. We are terribly outmanned, and the cities are large and fortified, and we can't possibly take it. And then the people hearing those 10, they began to cry out, would to God we had died back in Egypt. At least there we had food to eat. At least there we had some measure of security. Here we are out in the middle of the wilderness to die. Only Joshua and Caleb spoke up and said, with God's help, we can take it. And interestingly enough, in that text, the crowd listens to the ten. Yes, what we don't usually mention is the fact they take up stones to stone Joshua and Caleb for what they're saying. But because of that and other times of their unbelief, that generation did not enter into the promised land, saving for Joshua and Caleb. But when they come up to the time of going across, just before, we've got books like Deuteronomy where Moses gives a reiteration of the law that's been stated before in Leviticus and parts of Exodus and Numbers. And then reference made in Numbers chapter 33 of a reckoning of all the camps they've been in along the way and how they spent that 40 years. And the fact that we sometimes, in a Cliff Notes version, just say they wandered 40 years, there you've got the exhaustive list of places they went and camps they had. And you look at it on a map and realize they were just going around in circles and a nonsensical kind of a pattern to keep them from getting where they had no faith to go. But finally, that generation died. And as the writer in the Bible says, their carcasses were left there in the wilderness. And their children, now with much more faith than their parents had had, right there on the cusp of this land God had promised them long before. In fact, a land he had promised Abraham long before. Here they are just about to go in, and one last impediment they have, and that's the Jordan River, which was at this time of year over its banks. How would they possibly get across? And of course, their parents had crossed the Red Sea, an even larger body of water, by God's power, by God's miracle, and that's what happens this time. But to get to Canaan, they have to cross that Jordan River. Well, the writer of Hebrews reminds us that they didn't enter their rest. And that word rest is used as a word describing that Sabbath rest, a time of ceasing from labors that had in the wilderness, a time of delivery and liberty they would have in the land of promise. Their rest, that generation did not enter into it because of their unbelief, but their children did. And the Hebrew writer reminds us in chapter 4 of that book, there remains for us a rest for the people of God. That rest we have isn't the physical land of Canaan. It's not a physical property with milk and honey. It is the land beyond this one. And as it were, in this life, we struggle and have our difficulty. This life is a wilderness experience for so many of us. And yet our longing for heaven makes everything worthwhile. Our love for the world to come makes this world so much more palatable. We do what we must and can and enjoy here as best we can for while we're here. But oh, we long for the world beyond this one. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way. The soul never dies. Well, that's not the song we're going to sing, though. Instead, turn, if you would, to number 886 on Jordan's Stormy Banks, and we'll sing this one together. You notice the words, "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie." That was true physically of the Israelites, but it's especially true of us today. As we look for the land beyond this one and realize that's where our true possessions are. Remember Jesus says in Matthew 6, "Lay up your treasures in heaven." It's where we belong. Didn't Paul say in Philippians 3 that our citizenship is in heaven? It's where our longing is, because didn't Paul say in Colossians that our hope is laid up for us in heaven? Well, that's the idea here. And so sing with me this wonderful song, 886. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. We will rest in the fair and happy land by and by, just across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore. O'er the transporting rapturous scene that rises to my sight, sweet fields arrayed in living green and rivers of delight. We will rest in the fair and happy land by and by, just across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in his bosom rest? We will rest in the fair and happy land by and by, just across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore. Filled with delight, my raptured soul would here no longer stay. Though Jordan's waves around me roll, fearless I launch away. We will rest in the fair and happy land by and by, just across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore. I looked for another song on the subject that I just knew had to be in this book. And in a brief parenthetical thought, take it or leave it, I have always been perplexed and somewhat amused by the songs that certain editors use and don't use in particular books. And this isn't anything new with this one. The book we used over at 10th Street, it had a number of songs that were obviously missing, I thought. And this one has many of those songs I enjoy singing. And yet there are a few songs here that are oddly, I can't explain why, just not there. And so I wrote the words to this one down. I'm going to read it to you. We won't sing it together. If I can find the right pocket. There it is. Now you know why I don't use notes. I can't find them. It's the song, I Won't Have to Cross Jordan Alone. I looked, and I think I must have been a bad looker, because how could you leave that out of a book of the size we have? But as far as I can tell, it's not there. But the reason I bring up this song is because it adds an element to this that we haven't yet mentioned. I'll read to you at least the first verse here. When I come to the river at ending of day, when the last winds of sorrow have blown, there'll be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. And of course, if Canaan land is representative of our heavenly home, that realm we have in the spiritual world with our loved ones gone before, with our Lord Jesus beyond this one. And didn't Paul say that he longed to depart and be with Christ, which is far better? We all long for that. But there's something in the way between here and there, between us and then, if the Lord doesn't come first. And that's a subject we don't really enjoy talking about that much. It's death. And as somber and sorrowful as that seems, the idea, the contemplation of death, you realize there's no way to get from this world to the next one. There's no way to have those joys we speak of and sing of. There's no way to have within us that hope that we've been building all our lives to have. There is no way to have heaven without leaving this earth first. And again, if the Lord does not come while we're yet alive, we'll have to leave this body behind in death. And it's been said by others that, I long to go to heaven, but I don't want to die. Well, that pretty well describes how most of us feel. And yet this song tells us something which isn't just a pipe dream of the poet. It's a Bible promise. The idea that as God's people, we don't have to face death by ourselves. And even when we leave this life behind, we've breathed our last and move into the celestial realm. As the wonderful song by Elo Sanderson says, to worlds unknown. Even then, we're not alone. We're not doing it by ourselves. You want to know why the 23rd Psalm is so very popular? It's not just because of how it starts. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it's not just because of how it ends. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No, it's in the middle. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for thou art with me. We're not by ourselves. I read a sermon years ago by one of my favorite preachers of yesteryear, Brother T.B. Larimore. And he talks about the time when he was a boy. His father had been derelict and left the home and left him and his siblings and his mother there to fend for themselves. And because of that, as just a boy of 9 years old, he had to take a job to support his family. That was more common in those days than we can imagine now. And he had to work about 6-7 miles away from the homestead. And to get from his home to his place of employment, it was a neighbor's farm, he had to go through the woods, which was no problem. In the morning, he just got up and spryly sprang across the wooded area into the neighbor's property, worked there for the day. But when day was over, now darkness had come. And that forest, those woods that were not problematic in the daytime, were frightening at nighttime. That's why most horror movies are set at nighttime. That's why in those horror movies people are running through the woods in the dark, because that's where the monsters are. That's where the killers are. That's where bad things happen. You want to get out of the woods as quick as possible. And so he talked about at 9 years old, he had set back to the house, and it was just a terrifying event. And after a day or two of this, his mother could see that he was completely a nervous wreck. He said after about the second day, here he sets back home and takes just a few steps in, and he's terrified, and yet from a distance he hears his mother's voice. And she's walked from home all the way to meet him and to walk with him back to the homestead. And he said, that's the way, Brother Larimore says, that's the way I can imagine it being when I leave this life. Oh, I want to go home just like I wanted to go home when I was a 9-year-old. But I was afraid of the journey. I was afraid of the woods. I was afraid of the dark. Oh, it'd be nice to hear a voice from the other side saying, I'm here. I'll help you across. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And then somebody might say, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, the same idea is in the New Testament. Remember in Luke chapter 16 when Christ is telling the story of the rich man and Lazarus? We have no indication of how The rich man gets to torments, but he seems to get there fast. But we do know how Lazarus gets to paradise, to that place of Abraham's bosom. We know how he gets there because the Bible says the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. Now, if that's not a promise to all of us, why is it there? If that's not for all of God's people, why mention it here? Yes, we won't have to cross Jordan alone. And if we had that in our books, you better believe we'd be singing it this evening, but we won't. And so with that, I'll just remind all of us, our best times are ahead of us. Our true home is beyond this one, and our citizenship never was meant to be here. We long for heaven, we look forward to Canaan's land, and we even realize when we cross Jordan to get there, we won't be alone in the going. The Lord will be with us. That's the help, that's the peace, that's the comfort that we as Christians have. My friend, do you have that this evening? Are you a Christian? Are you a faithful one? Do you need to come and make things right? If so, don't let this service pass, but come forward now as together we stand and sing.